I don't know you well enough to blind you, all right? I need to go on a, I need to know you a little bit better first.
Don't know me well enough to color spray me. God damn. Yes.
Everybody, I'm Faith.
I'm Lewis.
And welcome back to Ramblin' Ramblers. This episode is a special one because this is will be our last episode revolving around DCC. And to basically wrap things up, we are going to be playing a level 2 one-shot called...
Keep Off the Borderland.
Yes. Which is... Lewis tells me it's a pun, so... Please
so
explain
it,
the
it's
pun.
Many things. So it's a level 2 DCC RPG adventure written by Michael Curtis. We've done a couple of Michael Curtis's things so far. They're all great. Keep Off the Borderland is inspired by the works of William Hodgson, one of the writers of the 20th century, who did more of that weird Appendix N brand fantasy. It is also a pun on the title from the 1970s Gary Gygax module, Keep on the Borderlands, where there was a Keep on the Borderlands. So we are joined today with, firstly, we have Faith playing Dwara Delver. There's Kyle the Wizard.
Yep, and I'm Asora, and I'll be playing Kyle the Wizard.
Wesley.
I'm MJ, and I'll be playing Wesley the Fighter.
Steve.
I'm Tenno, I'll be rocking in as Steve the Cleric.
And Sura Tebentus Silla, the Elf.
I'm Lur, and I'll be playing Sir the Elf.
Doesn't even want to say his own name.
Listen. Listen.
Yes, hi, I'm Dwara.
We're gonna waste too much time. I have to say my full name every time we talk.
So the Keep Off the Borderland starts with you guys are a troop, you have been doing adventuring stuff, you were about to move from A to B, you're crossing valley when suddenly a storm breaks out overhead, and you make camp to weather through it. So as this reddish-gray sandstorm sort of rains from overhead, which is very unusual just in every regard because red, there seems to be tendrils coming down from it of swirling sand that just grasp at it, and you push down to weather through it, basically. After the storm passes, however, you don't know how it happened. But one look at your surroundings after the storm clearly reveals you're far from home. Gone are the green trees and blue waters you're familiar with. An alien landscape stands in their place. All around you is a red-lit plain, barren and desolate of any growing thing. The hard soil beneath your feet is only vaguely discernible beneath a layer of dust hanging above it like a ground fog. The sky overhead is the color of drying blood, lit by a most unwholesome sun. Instead of a brilliant orb of burning yellow, you see a black disc, as dark as night, hanging in the sky. The ebon sun is surrounded by a corona of leaping flames, burning strands that illuminate the land below, but never once cross the star's dark face. To your west, perhaps, a wall of purple-black mountains runs from horizon to horizon, throwing long shadows across the featureless plain. Not each of these titanic piles of stone appears natural, however. Some peaks have the silhouettes of humans, beasts, and other less recognizable things. It's as if some terrible hand turned the mountains into blasphemous idols. Looking into the distance in the other direction reveals nothing but a bare plain stretching out in the horizon. And this is how you find yourselves.
Oh boy.
Well, this ain't good.
Yeah, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Guys, who turned off the valley's vibes? This isn't good.
Good question.
Can I dig into the ground?
With your bare hands?
Let me actually check. Do I have anything? I have a cow. Apparently I brought a cow with me. Does anybody have a shovel? Can I dig with my cow?
I have a bundle of wood, but nothing
I've
else.
Heard that, I've heard that cows are very good diggers. You should try it.
All right. Cow, get to it.
So the ground is very hard, and You don't get any headway with it, really. It seems to be chugging along quite quickly, and you see at the extreme distances in this low fog, glimpses of what might be something at the edge of your perception ducking in and out. Perhaps waiting for you to rest.
I think we should get moving then. Should try and get to a more fortified position.
Yeah, maybe we should head towards the mountains.
Is there like anything besides the mountains that could be considered like cover?
Or is it just not, no? It just goes out in all directions except towards the mountains. Is not super fun to be in.
Yeah, well, guess we gotta go to the mountains.
We go.
Yep, to the mountains we go.
We should go to the one that looks like a large cat. It looks friendly.
What you mean? You mean like that one thing on Kyle over there?
Oh yeah, like Fingerbon.
Wait, what?
My familiar is a cat.
Oh my god, what kind of cat?
A white cat.
A white cat.
A white cat.
Not just any white cat, a sexy white cat.
Yes. A sexy white cat.
Can I pet the cat? I would like to pet the cat.
Well.
Listen, we are going to die if we stay out in this fog.
Let us not die having petted a cat.
Listen, you can pet my pet succubus if you want. But right now, we're going to go... Yes, I do have a small woman. If you would like to pet her. But right now, let us...
You called her a pet succubus!
Listen.
Like a sentient evil Barbie doll that sits on her shoulder.
Oh, that caught me so off guard.
Welcome to DCC. You make your way off. Who amongst you has the lowest luck score?
My luck is minus one.
What is your luck score?
My luck score is... my modifier is plus zero. It's 9.
Score.
My luck is 10.
Okay, anyone got less than 9?
My luck is 8.
Anyone got less than 8?
I have 17, but no.
That's not less than 8. So,
I know.
Would Wesley please roll a d20 under his luck score?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
You've got this. It's the first roll of the game. Let's see
we believe in you, Wesley.
We believe in you, Wesley.
We're going to be fine. You're going to be perfectly fine.
Okay, so you're making your way along just happily without a care in the world because you're in this parallel dimension and, you know, this is all normal stuff. When suddenly, Wesley disappears. It takes half a second for you to realize that he has sunk through a hole in the ground.
Oh.
Well, that's where he wanted to go anyway.
Listen, he pet the cat. That's the most important thing that happened to him.
Yes.
Yes, there is a 10-foot square area of ground that just sinks in around him. And you can see that there's a nest of these insectoid things. The things crawling from the red earth have a vague resemblance to centipedes, but with far too many joints on their twitching multitude of legs. The creatures' heads are patchworks of bony plates bearing ripping mandibles, giving them the appearance of sawtoothed skulls, a weird piping howl like ice moving against itself in the dead of winter, whistles from their skull-like heads.
They are spooky. I don't like them. Let's kill them.
MJ, managed to fight off the first one that tries to attack you. I would like now everyone to roll initiative as normal. Excellent. I will call out your name, and you can tell me what you got.
Wonderful.
So, Dwara.
18.
That was with a...
That's a 17 plus 1.
Okay. Kyle.
16, and 18 minus 2.
Oh, you guys are really rolling quite high.
Wait for it.
Oh, boy.
Steve?
4.
4. Sura?
20.
20, nice. Wesley?
8. 6 plus 2.
Yay! Excellent. Well, Sora, you're up first. You get to react first to the fact that your friend has fallen into a sinkhole full of multi-joint-legged centipede.
Listen. Between you and me, buddy, friend is a little bit too strong of a word. But listen, let's just shoot these folk as I'll just make finger guns and cast magic meta.
What happened to the British tax that you promised us?
There are 4 of these things in the pit.
Oh, excellent. I'll choose the one closest to my quote-unquote associate.
Yep, that's fine. So you got a...
Let me check. A nice crisp 19.
Oh, excellent. What is 19 on your magic missile, then?
That means that I shoot 4D missiles and deal 4D plus caster level to whatever the fuck I want. Excellent. Although I do need to aim it at a single target that I can see, which I assume I do.
Yes, you can see quite easily.
All right, so that's 4 missiles coming at that one. Do you want me to just roll a D4 and that's the damage of all 4?
I mean, I've got a 4D4 button on this bot, haven't I?
No. You do not.
Wow, where'd that go? Oh, well. Yeah, you can set it. You can do it however you like.
All right. That is 24 damage to whoever down there wants it. But so, you cannot even get it.
You completely annihilate one of these things, sending 4 inch-wide holes through its carapace and out the other side. It falls down limp, but that was the one that was on Wesley.
Yep, I'll blow my hands and then move a little bit backwards.
Dwara.
Yes. I am going to jump down the hole.
Okay.
With my trusty mace in hand. And I'm going to smack one of the centipede thingies. I'm also going to scream for Wesley down there while I'm doing it. I think I hit. Hang on.
You are rolling a d20 plus d4, remember?
Oh, d20 plus d4. That's right, because I've got a d dice. Okay, so that's an 8 plus a 2 is a 10.
So that is a little bit short.
Darn. But do I at least look cool while I fall down?
You do look cool as you fall down.
Okay, that's all that matters.
It's not a super deep thing, so it's fine. After you, it is the Howlers. So I would like everyone to make a will save as the 3 remaining ones start attacking the 2 people inside. Wesley, having the lower luck, you're going to get 2 bites. Dwara, having the higher luck, you get 1 bite. 1 bite.
Wow, ouch. I guess the bugs miss.
I got a 5.
Pope, do you want us to roll against that 20 that you rolled, or is that...
No,
is that
these are attack rolls that I'm rolling. Doing. Let's see, so, Faith, you got a... What's your will save with that 2?
It's 2!
Okay, that is quite short. MJ, you got a...
I got a 5.
Okay, that's also short. Steve rolled a...
13.
You are fine. Isora, you rolled a...
6.
For a...
For my will save is 2.
So it's 8.
Oh yeah, okay, 8.
Okay, so you are just short. Lure, you don't give 19. A shit. Lure's just happy.
Listen, it's always nice when an elf has a finger pointed at you.
So, Dwara, Wesley, and Kyle, you have the option to spend luck. Kyle, you are just short. The others are a lot more short.
get out. My luck's garbage. I'll just take it.
I will also just take it.
I'm going to spend a point of luck.
That's perfect. That's the exact amount.
Yes. So now I have 16 luck.
Now you have 16. Now, those of you that failed, you have now gone frenzied from the sound of the howlers in the pit. The screeching in their head, it just rings in your head in such a horrible way that you can't focus. You now attack using a d16, and you can only attack the howlers in melee combat, because you're just in a blind rage. D14 attacks, blind rage. Those that pass are fine. And the two that attacked Wesley both missed. They both rolled fours. The one that attacked Faith sadly got a crit.
Ouch.
Which I'm going to say is that they're rolling a d4 on the crit table for monsters, which is 1 point of damage. And you have been knocked prone.
Oh no. That's not cool.
That is super cool. Kyle, you passed, so you're still able to cast spells.
Okay. I'm going to do Flaming Hands on one of the creatures.
Okay.
Oh no, I lost it.
Oh no, right at the start as well. It's all right, you can still... So you got a 6 total. You could spend 6 luck to make it work.
Oh yeah.
Probably a lot too many.
Isn't it Spellburn? Isn't Spellburn an option?
Spellburn's before the roll.
Oh, right.
I'm gonna spend luck.
Really? Okay.
Yes, I need Flaming Hands.
So don't forget, even if you have quote-unquote lost it, you can just spend a stat point to force yourself to cast.
Oh yeah, I know.
So lost doesn't mean gone, but you can spend 6 luck to not have to do that.
Yeah, I am. I'm spending 6 luck.
So, what is a 12 on Flaming Hands for you?
Alright. A single blast of fire strikes one target within range for 1d3 points of damage.
Okay, so give me a d3, please.
2.
Excellent. Doesn't like that. Fire is not their friend.
Oh boy. I'm gonna set him on fire.
Next up will be Wesley himself.
Oh boy, I'll attack with that d16 plus my d-dice. And no, I'm not hitting anything!
That's a fumble, good sir.
Oh boy, what do I roll for my fumble?
You're wearing hide armor, so I believe your fumble is a d8.
Alright, wonderful. I'll roll
What's
that
d8.
Minus 1.
So, d8 plus 1, as that's the inverse of your luck.
Oh. 7. What happens?
You know, I think we should just designate that hole as the unlucky hole.
You drop your weapon. You must retrieve it or draw a new one on your next action.
Ah!
So, your huge sword is just stuck in the sand in this field here.
No!
Oh no!
That's my favorite sword.
Steve, how would you like to follow this up?
How would Steve like to follow this up? Okay, yeah, so all my friends are in the hole currently, correct? Or heading into said hole?
No, at the moment it's just Dwara and Wesley.
Just, okay.
Yeah, the two tanks.
Did you pass that will save, by the way?
Yes, I did. I got a 13. So, then Lur is still up here with me, correct?
Correct.
I'll move over to Lur, and you know what I'll do? I'll cast Blessing Ally.
Okay.
Listen, I don't think that works, dear lawful cleric. Listen.
It'll work, right? Yeah?
It'll work.
Wait. Okay, that's gonna be a 12. Hey!
Wait,
they get
why is your d20 roll of a 13 a 12?
Because I have plus 3, but my check penalty from armor is minus 4.
You're a cleric, you don't take the check penalty.
Oh, well then that's a 16.
Excellent, so what does a 16 do, good sir?
The ally receives a plus 1 bonus to all attack rolls for one turn.
Okay, so that's a full 10 minutes.
Yep.
And what was it, all attack rolls?
Yep.
Ah, well, that's not really what a wizard does, but it's good to know.
Unfortunate.
You've become incredibly accurate. Unfortunately, you have nothing to be accurate.
So, Sura, you stand there having quieted the voices in your head, making you want to punch the howlers, and you manage to quiet the voices in your head that make you punch things more accurately.
I don't listen, friend. I don't need to punch things more accurately. I already have aimbot on my magic missiles.
The worst part is, if I hadn't spent 2 luck, I could have went up to 18, and that would have given you a bonus to your skill checks and spell checks for a turn.
Listen, let me show you. Let me show you how it's done. I attempt to shoot one of the one that crit Dwara. Yes, that is a lost spell. That's a 7.
Oh no.
Oh, so
the options available to you are to spend luck to recover it and make it hit and succeed, or for the rest of this engagement, the rest of this day, you spend one of your physical, you spend 1 point of one of your 3 physical stats to spell burn that spell back into memory every time you want to cast it.
Well, every time I want to cast it, you say?
Every time.
Let's see, what is that? That is an 8. I'll spend 3 luck to make that not fail and deal a grand total.
If that's 8, you're going to want to get to 12, I think?
It's 11 for magic miss. 12. So yep. 4.
So, single missile that does a point of damage.
Single missile that deals 1 point of damage. See? I told you I could hit. Ignore the spell.
That is considerably less than the last one, which completely nulled a guy straight away. So, next up, we have the delightful Dwara. You failed your roll, and you're rolling a D16. A D14, sorry.
Yeah, I'm also prone, so I'm going to have to spend my turn standing up.
Spend your movement to stand up, yes.
Oh, yeah, spend movement to stand up, and then I will... Well, I imagine there's still a centipede thing like within swinging range, so...
There is a centipede thing within swinging range.
I'm a swing at it.
Okay.
You said D14?
Yep. Plus your D dice.
So that's a 9. So I'm going to spend a point of luck.
Strength.
Oh wait, I forgot to add in my plus 2 attack. So actually that's an 11.
Wasn't this your lucky weapon as well?
It is. So yeah.
So still an 11?
Let's see. 9 plus 2. Oh wait, lucky weapon gives me a plus 1, right?
If that's your luck modifier, yes.
Oh, I have a 0 luck modifier, so it doesn't matter.
Nice.
So it's still an 11. So.
So you are still a little bit short.
Yeah, I'm gonna spend a point of luck.
Just a point?
2 points.
That hits.
Yay!
So you do, what is it? D8.
Check. It says 1d6 plus 2 plus deed.
Okay, so that's a d6 plus 5 then.
So that's 9.
Okay, and you bring the mace down heavily, and the head just collapses inward.
Woohoo!
Yay!
You do still have your shield to attack with, which I'm going to say, because of the frenzy, is going to have you attack at d10 with it.
Alright, so I'll shield bash the next one closest to me.
It is a d10 plus 5, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. That actually hits.
Nice.
So it's shield. A g3 plus 5 damage. Okay.
7.
Dwarves once again just kicking ass.
Yay! This is fun! I love kicking ass.
However, you have attracted the attention of these howlers.
Oh no!
The left dice is going to be for MJ, the right one's going to be for Dwara. Okay, MJ, do you have a 14?
AC?
Yep.
No, it's 30.
So they both lunge towards you. One of them wraps its way around MJ, biting him in the leg.
Ah, my leg!
For a full 3 points of damage, good sir. Dwara, you managed to put your shield up in the way and do that thing that shields do, which is get in the way.
Yeah.
Kyle.
All right.
How did you do on that will save? You've gone since then. Yeah, so you're fine.
All right. I'm just gonna... Well, flaming hands again.
Perfectly fine, yes. Do you want a spell burn before the roll?
Oh.
That's too late.
Okay, so level plus intelligence would be 15, 17.
An 18 pushes it to the next barrier, I believe.
Already down to 10 lock.
That's 1 point of luck at this point.
Yeah. I'm going to burn that point of luck.
Okay, so what does an 18 get you?
Spell produces a blast of fire that burns a single target within range for 1d6 plus CL points of damage.
Okay, so that's going to be a d6 plus 2.
All right. That would be 6.
Nice. Fwom. Flames descend from your hand down into the pit. Surgically missing Dwara. Wesley, how would you like to respond?
Can I pull my sword out of the muck?
Yes, that would be your action.
Okay, I'll do that then.
Okay, he is ready for next turn. Steve.
Okay. So, this hole, how deep is it precisely?
10 feet. Tops.
Okay, cool. I'll be heading into the hole.
Okay, yep, you're in the hole.
I'll try paralysis now.
Okay.
That's what I'll do. Roll dice. Well, that's an 18.
So, speaking out the name of the moon god, you reach into her will and you produce a...
The cleric melee weapons and missile fire weapons are charged with paralysis. The charge remains for 1d4 plus caster level rounds. Any attack by the cleric during this period delivers normal damage plus paralysis. If the target fails, a will save. The paralyzed creature is unable to move or take any physical actions for 1d6 plus caster level rounds.
Okay. So hold on to that one then.
Yep. I'll just roll the d4 to see how long it lasts.
The spell lasts, or the paralyzed lasts?
The spell.
Okay.
It's d6 plus caster level rounds. For how long the paralyzed lasts, the d4 plus caster level rounds, for how long the charge, like how long I have that for.
Okay.
On my attacks.
So roll your d4. Excellent.
Five rounds.
All combat. Sura, you are slowly being the only person left in the side of this pit.
I forgot that I was muted. That is, you know, except. It's time to load some guns with religious intent, because they can't be us. Time to spell burn.
Actually, the irony here is I ain't using no guns.
I'm not using any guns. I'm using my finger guns.
I love the idea that he's like cocking his finger guns, going.
It's time. What do I need to roll on my patron's spell burn tip, dear Dungeon Master?
Sorry, what are you doing?
I'm spell burning.
You're spell burning.
Before I shoot.
Okay, so, whilst I'm looking that up, how much of what are you burning?
You know, you should probably describe to the viewers at home what spell burn is, because I definitely know.
mechanically, you are just reducing your physical stats by a value, each one individually, and then collectively the amount you've reduced it by becomes a positive modifier on your spell roll. Though if you would roll me a d4, I can give you a description connected to your patron specifically.
Yes, that is what I was talking about. Please give me a 4. I want it. God damn it.
Calling on the Sylvan Realm causes a bit of the caster's shadow to leave for an errand in the Elflands. Forcing one's own shadow away requires great mental force, manifesting as stat loss.
Right, excellent. I'll just add in some... let's say 1 from every mental stat. Can I do that?
Anyone being able to perceive Sora and his shadow will notice that his shadow is normal up to the waist, and then from that point upwards, it appears as though he only has a skeleton casting a shadow.
Oh boy.
And like that, I lose nothing because my familiar takes hold of it. Now, you know, being a demonic familiar, we've talked about this.
So now, you've taken 1 from each of your 3 stats for a +3 total?
Yep.
So that combines with your already 2, so you get a d20 +5.
Yep, let's see how much. Ooh, that's gotta be a strong, strong magic missile.
That is a big missile.
That is a big missile.
What did you roll, sir?
I rolled a 24, which means... Oh, god damn it. Well, one of these things is going to explode. Which one of them looks like it's at full health?
The one on the right.
I'll shoot that one with... the caster throws a single powerful missile that deals damage equal to 4d12. So I'm just gonna... It's going to take a while on the spot, but let's just do this. 9... 20, 21, 33 damage to this one creature in particular, because fuck it, I guess.
Plus caster level.
I lost it. It's 37. Or 35, rather.
35. So, yes, they do not have 35 health. They just cease to be. There is no corpse left. There is just a shadow burnt on the wall around it.
Oh my gosh.
Blows a gun again. Alright, you guys got this, right? I don't need to kill the rest of them myself, too.
It is just to our left. Well, it is to our left now. You have only 1 remaining.
So, I'm gonna smack it.
Smack it. You still have a d16 plus d4.
Alright.
Sorry, so a d14 plus
d4. Yeah, I was gonna say, wasn't it d14?
Yep.
Okay. That's a 7, d4, that's an 11, plus mad.
So you bring your mace down with such an arc that you physically can't fail to kill it here. The thing goes splat, and it writhes up inside itself as if like a dead animal, a dead insect even. The frenzied people do remain frenzied.
Uh-oh.
That's less ideal. Just can't stop hearing the noises.
So, Kyle, seeing your friends frenzied, what would you like to do?
Is there anything that can break them out of a frenzy?
Just for brevity, if a cleric was to heal them for 1 point of 1 dice of healing, that'll do it.
I'm gonna back up and give them some space. I'm not going to do anything.
You take your 3d4 hit dice over there.
Yeah.
I'll take my 3d4 hit dice over there.
So, Wesley, you're up next. Where did you fall in the frenzy? Are you frenzied or not?
Wesley did, in fact, frenzy. I don't know why he's not frenzied.
I think it was just the 2 warriors. It's just me and Wesley that got frenzied.
Oh, that's good. That's absolutely optimal way for this to have gone. MJ... Since you're either muted or just fallen asleep again,
I'm here.
Okay, are you all here? Would you roll a d6 for me on a 4+? You have control of your frenzy.
Oh boy, 4.
You managed to abate the feeling of just completely stoving in the face of the dwarf.
Yes.
Basically, both of you are inside this pit, along with Tenno, who you don't pay attention to, and you are both circling it, just the only thing going through your mind is just dun 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 dun.
You just have Steve walking up behind these two, like half tearing at each other, half not. You know, great.
Speaking of, Steve.
Yeah.
There's still one big bat in here with us, right?
No.
Oh, no? That got incinerated?
Completely removed from time and space with that bloody 24.
Damn. And you say my friends are currently chomping at the bits at each other, so Steve, ever the chill cleric, is gonna walk up and gonna attempt to heal the dwarf, because the dwarf has been friendlier.
Okay.
And Wesley and their, you know, being late. Anyways, so yeah, we'll start with that. That's the lay on hands, I believe. Yeah, spell check time! Oh, okay, so that's a 22.
Perfectly fine. I don't think Dwarf actually took any hit point damage. I took a little bit, didn't
I? I took one hit point of damage.
Okay, so I'm fairly confident you can roll one on a d8. So, you're fully healed and no longer hearing the Star Trek fight music, which is a shame.
I was gonna say, this is Thunder Pit.
Yeah. So let's just breathe this out. How are we gonna approach the fact that Wesley is about to attack, probably Steve? So, let's go through it this way. Sora, Dwara, Kyle. Kyle has already stepped away. So Sora and Dwara, you go before Wesley. Is there anything you would like to do?
I'm thinking of that. Do I want to risk color spray? No, because if I did that, dear Wesley would be blind for 30 minutes and we can't fight.
It doesn't matter. You can blind me.
Actually, I don't know you well enough to blind you, all right? I need to know you a little bit better first.
Don't know me well enough to color spray me. God damn. Yeah.
Damn, guys, I'm in a real catch 22 here.
Don't worry, you'll be fine. I'll wait.
Wait, I thought Wesley was able to wrest control of himself.
For the moment.
Oh, for the moment.
For the turns, for the round specifically.
Okay. Alright, so then
he might be able to control himself again this round as well, but we don't know.
So Sora has already made his turn, or no?
I've made my turn. I'm not going to do anything. I will walk a little bit closer to the top of the cobra.
Okay. So since Steve is down here with me, I'm going to try to position myself between myself and Steve, or between Wesley and Steve. So.
Dwarf to the rescue!
Yeah, just because I have all my faculties back.
Okay. Wesley, we'll jump to you then. Do the same thing again, a d6, 4 plus, you're able to control the voices in your head. Roll the dice, roll the dice.
MJ, roll the dice.
Shit. What am I rolling again?
A d6 on a 4 plus, you managed to control the voices in your head.
Voices again.
Excellent. So, Steve, are you able to do anything here?
Well, Steve has multiple things. Steve could punch Wesley and, you know, potentially paralyze them. But Steve is going to instead... Steve is instead going to once again try and heal Wesley's mind via a good old lay on hands here.
Okay.
Let's go! That's an 11.
Oh no!
Hold up, I think. Can I spend a luck point on this?
You can, yes.
I'll make that a 12 then with a single luck point. Avoid that discipline.
Wesley regains full control of his faculties.
Oh, my head.
There is no more Star Trek music.
But
you find yourself stood now alone in the nest of these things, these howlers.
Is the nest empty?
No, there is at least three player characters in it.
No, I mean, like, I mean, are the hodlers all gone?
Yeah, we killed them.
We killed
them. Yeah, that's what I thought.
God. Around, you can see that there are some odds and ends. Wesley, you had a question also?
I was basically saying what they said, but like phrased differently.
Oh, okay. So yeah, once again, all the howlers appear to be dead. There's some odd things that seem to be thrown about.
Well, as the saying goes, loot the corpses.
Yes.
So there are 40 silver pieces bearing the visages of strange kings. A red gem with a glint of orange at its heart. And a small metal cuboid, approximately 2 inches long, 1.5 inches wide, with a hinge on one side.
Is this a puzzle box? I want the puzzle box.
We've got to smash it open again.
Yes, let's smash it open.
It is a cold metal. It seems to be very smooth and well made.
Luke, listen, don't make the puzzle box void.
So I do have a question, because I am a dwarf and I am familiar with gold and jewels. Am I able to discern anything about that gem? Or is it just too otherworldly?
It is very valuable.
Nice.
My dwarf senses the tingling.
Shall we take a peek? Shall we throw up some detect magic and take a peek for some magic? See if any of this is magical.
I feel that's literally your job.
You think it's magical?
Yeah, that's literally. I'm asking. Do you want me to throw up a detect magic? See if any of this shit's magical.
You could just do that.
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna throw up a detect magic.
But I'm also
he's vomiting detect magic all over the place.
Exactly. Exactly.
can't wait for the for everything to come up as magical.
Go on.
Well, that's a 14. Cleric is aware of magical enchantments on any object or creature within range. This includes weapons, armors worn by a creature, as well as spells. The cleric cannot distinguish which portions of the target are magical. For example, a creature enchanted by a spell or carrying a magical weapon or items registered simply as magical. So the true extent and nature of magic is not always evident.
Nothing radiates magic.
Damn. Nice.
But it all radiates value.
So you got your 40 silver pieces, a gem, and you got that strange metal box with a hinge on one side. There is a seam that goes down the middle as well.
So is there any sort of interaction we can do with the box?
Pulling on the top and bottom, there doesn't seem to be a catch. The hinge sort of just opens. And inside you can see that one side is hollow to accommodate that the other half has a small cylinder with perforated metal. Though the cylinder is only 90% of the way around. On the missing 10%, you can see that there is a wheel that intersects with it.
So it's kind of like a music box.
Can I spin
the wheel?
So as you spin the wheel, a spark is produced inside the cylinder from the wheel.
It's a lighter.
It's a lighter!
Oh!
I can set more things on fire!
No, Kyle. We already owe enough for you burning down taverns. We don't need to do this again.
So, I don't mean to alarm you all, but you are stuck in a 10-foot hole.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Does it go further in? Stuck in a 10-foot hole with treasure in it.
Also, does this 10-foot hole of treasure go deeper into the nest of creepy howling things?
Yeah, are there any tunnels?
Nope.
Okay.
Guys, don't worry, my cow has rope. Just throw the rope down.
You left your cow up here. Hold on.
Yeah, of course I did. What, was I going to chuck my cow into the hole?
To be fair, the hole opened up under you specifically.
I'll go grab your cow and your rope, and I'll tie the rope around the cow.
Oh god, I feel like we lost the cow then. The cow's just... The cow's not getting out of this hole, guy.
No, the cow's just chilling. The cow didn't give a shit about any of this.
What? But is it in the hole or out the hole?
It's outside the hole. It stood between the two.
Okay,
main.
Good. If it came in with me, there's no way we're pulling a cow out of here.
I'll tie a rope to the cow and then I'll throw the rope down.
Did we actually need to leave?
Yeah, because there's nothing else in the hole.
It's literally a hole.
It's just a hole.
Yeah. So we take the cool stuff out of the hole, and we take our cool selves out of the hole, and we go on our potentially merry way.
Yep.
Oh, can I get bitch slapped for like free health, please?
No.
Cleric?
Wait. But when I... Oh, that's right. No, the... Cool. Yeah, I'll lay on hands again on Wesley, try to heal him. I'm fine with that. Yeah. Pope, patron, we cool with that?
Yep. Patron taint income.
That's an 18.
Yeah, that's probably more than enough. Yeah, MJ.
Yeah, I have health.
If MJ's opposed, it's one dice. Adjacent two dice.
A D12 and
I have. I was missing three health. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so making your way further towards these dark mountains, approximately another 3 miles have passed. You make your way slower and more concerned of further incidents, but you find yourself that you stand beneath the ominous mountains, running from the horizon to horizon across the dusty, misty plain. The strange black horizon, the strange black flaming sun hangs in the sky behind the mountains, casting them into shadow, silent and foreboding. Now that you are closer, you can indeed see that a dozen or more of the mountains have been sculpted into strange titanic forms. A snake-headed woman, a three-eyed bald man, an insectile thing with the head of a giant wasp and the upper body of an ape are the least alien of the carvings you can see in the gloom. Each is more than a mile above you, and their carved slopes look sheer and treacherous. Nestled in a gap in the foothills at the base of the mountains, however, is a narrow defile, perhaps formed by a long-vanished stream flowing out of the highlands. Deep within the defile, you can see tiny luminous glow, like that of a steadily burning lantern in the darkest hours of night. Its yellowish light is the sole speck of color in the otherwise dark silhouette of the mountain range.
Go into the light.
Yeah, go to the light.
To quote a particular not-hobbit, don't follow the lights. But yeah, we're going to follow the lights.
We're following.
Why are we following? We're following the wrong kind of light, folks. Okay?
So it is a winding path that leads through between the mountains. And after about 80 feet of making your way up this narrow path, the defile comes to the end at the very root of one of the mountains. This one is untouched by the tremendous hand of the mysterious sculptor. A rock wall rises up to meet the rest of the mountain above, but an opening appears at the face of the cliff, a curious archway resembling an upturned triangle, its point piercing the ground. The opening measures 7 feet high and 4 feet wide at its broadest point. From beyond the opening comes the light you noticed. The yellow, steady glow is brighter, almost painfully so, and burns somewhere beyond the open doorway.
Let's go in.
We enter. We go forth.
Who's going first? I nominate me because I've got a shield.
All right. And I'll go second, and the cow can come behind me.
And I'll go behind them, so if they take damage, they have healed.
I'll go behind Tana. I'll go behind Steve.
Yeah, it'd be a tragedy if the cow was...
On the other screen now.
I will go in the middle, because that's the safest.
As you enter the complex, the strange light originates in this room, but from a source you could have never imagined. A gibbet of crudely worked iron bars hangs from a ring in the ceiling of the center of the room. Within the cage is a scarecrow of a man, hair almost entirely gone except for a beard that reaches beyond their waist. He is dressed solely in a loincloth. The man appears ancient, but it's difficult to tell their age, as their body glows with an almost blinding light. It almost appears as if large patches of luminous lichen encrust their aged flesh. Their eyes are closed, their chin resting dejectedly on one of the cage's many bars.
This concludes part one of our season finale. Our story continues with part two.
If you would like to play DCC or any other roleplay game that we mention in this podcast, get in contact with us at Twitter at GrumpyDeck or find our Discord link in bio and pinned comment.
Special thanks to Reichelt for sprucing up our cute little logo and to Tim from TabletopAudio.com for our intro and outro music. We hope you enjoyed this episode and we will see you next time.